listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life Program for Wednesday, August 23rd. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you and glad to have those joining us live in the chat. We always look forward to seeing you and we appreciate your contributions. And we appreciate those that take the time to catch up with us in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we'll begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Tonight's topic is artificial intelligence. And, you know, there's so many avenues to explore on this topic, but Dr. Vicki, I know that you had some thoughts to get us started.
Okay, so I put a lot of thought into this, Michael. You know how we talked about this a number of weeks ago and the potentials, you know, for artificial intelligence. But it suddenly occurred to me that we're throwing the word intelligent onto something that is kind of trying to replicate human intelligence, but it's not. It's only designed by humans. So if I back up, even in a doc, in a document, let's say, and, you know, you've got your autocorrect, you've got, you can do spell checks, you can do things. That's where somebody has, Michael is saying I'm quiet. Maybe the mic placement. I'm going to change my mic position here. Sorry. It's only as smart as somebody programmed it to be. So even then, when you're texting on your phone or writing on the computer, and it'll pop up with some words that it thinks, even in an email, Gmail, it'll come up with finishing your sentence for you because it's trying to presuppose what you're going to say based on the algorithms of what you have already input into the system. So it's only as smart as people have programmed it to be. Make sense so far? Can you hear me, Michael?
Well, you're still on the low side, and I know people are going to blame me, and they're going to think that I'm trying to turn your volume down so they can't hear your excellent points as well. But
well, I'm turning my volume up, and we'll see if that helps a little.
I'll say that when we're talking about artificial intelligence, you know, there's a lot of different varieties. You've talked about some algorithms, which is kind of like a real basic form of it. What is all the buzz now is the, like ChatGPT kind of AI and the, AI that can generate images and things like that, which is, it's not AI in like the sense of a consciousness. It's AI and the ability to, as a program act, semi-independently to go and obtain data and to do this, that, and the other. In different things that I've watched and read and listened to, when they talk about artificial intelligence in the way that, you know, they do in sci-fi where you have a sentient machine. It would be like in on the order of generative AI, something that can have add that spark of creativity and self-awareness. And I think that's a long way off. And I think that's going to be somewhere worth like the discussion tonight. But I didn't want to cut off any other points that we're talking about, the current things that we're dealing with. There's a lot of avenues there, too.
See, sentience, that's where I'm going to draw the line for a second. But I have one disclaimer on that. So it's a computerized system that has information in, like the inputs and the codings given to it so that it can start to interact with itself, generating its own answers. It doesn't mean it's intelligent. It's just a replicator.
Well,
you know,
and that's, you're talking about
copying.
You're talking about today's AI that we're dealing with.
So even then, advance that into robotics where you think you have a so-called acting sentient, you know, let's say human-like robot, I still think it's a machine unless it's interfaced with organics.
Well,
and I really think that organics, you know, or it's kind of like if somebody has an artificial, you know, a prosthetic arm or something, and now they can hook things up to your brain that signal that arm or leg or whatever to work. And I think that's an interactive organic machine that you remain sentient. But is a machine in and of itself without the organics a sentient being? I think not. I think it might appear to be, but it's still been coded. And coded in a way, this is the risk, I think, where it can run away with itself. Because humans don't know the fallout of stuff. We're not good at that.
Yeah, often.
You know, it's like, we're going to take out a few buffalo, and before long, there's only five left. You know, it's like, we think that there's this, you know, an insurmountable possibility we can take whatever we want. But what are the ramifications? Well, what if codes can start to talk to each other? And thank you, Dr. Edward. It mimics human behavior and language. But as he is saying, too, it's far from being sentient.
Well, he's talking about ChatGPT, not what we're talking about in the sense of an advanced artificial intelligence. And, you know, I have points, but keep going.
No, go for it, because I fail to believe that a coded computer chip can have any sort of consciousness. It appears to, but it does not. And I'm not talking about ChatGPT. I'm talking about what looks like a human robot.
Again,
and it acts like it's human and acts like it has feelings, but it's been told to do that. It's been coded to behave that way.
Well, I think a couple of things. One, I think Lieutenant Commander Data is going to have a word or two with you. But two, I have to point out something else I pulled from Star Trek, whoever wrote the line for Captain Picard, where he said, if it makes you feel more comfortable, we are merely machines ourselves, biochemical instead of metal and circuitry. But I can't help but think, every time you talk about programming, I can't help but think about the instinct that drives us, the programming of our own emotions. You know, these didn't come from nowhere. It's the instinct of us as the human animal. We talk about AI in a very futuristic sense that we're not there yet. But talking about that kind of sci-fi, that Data from Star Trek type way, is, to me, human beings are very similar in that we have programming. We also have the ability to change our own programming, sometimes very slowly and over time, but there are certain things we'll never be able to change. And maybe it's a generational thing. Maybe it's because I was kind of brought up on a sci-fi thing. I can tell you, my father, the elder Dr. Kelly, he doesn't agree with me. But I feel that if you have an intelligence that can become self, that is aware of itself, I just think it's possible. I'm sorry, but I do. And I think it's something that we shouldn't even attempt because we can't play God. But I do think it's possible. And I think that a soul comes from awareness, not from an organic connection to the universe. I think that it's the consciousness connection to the universe.
Yeah, but is consciousness then equals some kind of a soul which then I'm saying, at what point then would you think that consciousness is born in a robot?
Well, at what point is consciousness born in a living creature? Are we talking about plants, ants?
This is machining, and I think this, and okay, I have to admit too, I watched this series called Next on Paramount, and it's all about the AI takeover, you know, when they're trying to stop it, and you know, because it's now a runaway train taking over the world and stuff. And that's what really got me thinking about how they have coded this machine to then interact with itself. Of course, it's given a voice, and it acts like it has thoughts and feelings and is presupposing human behavior, what they're doing, watching everything like Big Brother. But I still think it's still a chip. And again, this is just my feeling. And it's good that you oppose that, Michael. I think it's great that we can have this discussion, agree to disagree. But it's still based on certain mechanisms. If you take one of those mechanisms out, it no longer behaves the same way. In humans, you can take out a spleen, you can take out an appendix, and it's still going to function.
But that's like taking out, you know, different components that are, yeah, that's not the processing, that's not the memory, that's not the core program. You know, that's like, if can you take out parts of the brain and expect it to function the same? That would be a better analogy in my mind.
Okay. Given that, I'll give you that one. It's again, the parts of the components used to create it is still based on who has input it. Actually, Caleb makes a really good point in the chat. Let's go there. He said, I think the only way an AI made by a human will be truly independent is if the human allows the AI to rewrite those basic premises or code given it at the beginning. Otherwise, the prejudices that particular programmer put into the AI will still be the basis of whatever the AI does. So I think, you know, the AI being a reflection of its creator, and
I mean, I keep drawing parallels between that and, you know, biologic life. I keep drawing parallels between, you know, the cycles that you see again and again and again in humanity. I can't help it. And I think that if and when artificial intelligence in the way that I think it can exist comes about, I think it'll be unexpected. And I think it'll be something that grows, because awareness isn't something that just happens. So awareness is something that we build. And that's why we're all here, is to increase our level of awareness. But, and you know, while the debate over whether or not AI can have a soul is a good one, I think there's so many other prescient points to be made taking that out.
Sure.
And go ahead.
I love what Dr. Zach has said, and thanks for this, Zach. He says, it sounds like Dr. Vicky is considering neuroplasticity. If you remove part of the circuit board, the hardware loses functionality, but you can remove half of a human brain, it will adapt. Thank you for that. That's kind of what I was trying to say.
I think there are other things to be made, because you can remove sections of programming and it reroutes. Again, I feel like we shouldn't try to put limits on things. Let's just see where things go and not presuppose. But anyway,
When we just say, well, let's just see how it goes, and now the program has interacted with itself in a way that humans couldn't predict.
Right.
Then we're in trouble. And I think me, that's the risk of AI. You know,
that's why I think that, you know, I think, frankly, the search for human-like AI should be illegal, because, again, to me, it's playing God, and it's messing with things we don't understand and can't understand. So I'm with you on that point. I don't think we should. I just think it's possible, and I think if it happens unexpectedly, I don't know, maybe too much sci-fi. I think people are reacting to it as if it couldn't possibly be conscious. Regardless, I think it's also important to note, should we be creating these things that are kind of replacing, you know, people in a way? I think the current writer strike and actor strike is perfect for this, because they're talking about AI writing. They're talking about, you know, taking images of actors and using them in plays or movies and things going forward. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is a very important, you know, point to touch on as well.
Totally agree. And I totally agree. And I think this is where that plagiarism, you know, plays a big part where, oh, what do we need all you people? Why don't we we don't have to pay you people anymore. We just got a few techs that have the program.
Right, exactly.
You know, so I think that, I guess my point is, let's say, yeah, and you're right, Michael, between here and there is a lot of other stuff, and we're not considering what the other stuff is and what the ramifications are, and then it takes a whole bunch of people to stand up and say, whoa, wait a minute, you know, you can't use my image, you can't use this, you can't write my play for me, and of course now AI is writing, you know, university papers for people, writing music.
Oh, and it creates this other dynamic where sometimes there have been cases, maybe they're fewer and far between, but cases of students that actually did write their work, they did do it in the honest way, and it is incorrectly flagged as something that was written by AI or something like that. So, you know, it creates that kind of dynamic. And, you know, I love the chat back and forth. It's great stuff. And, of course, Dr. Edward hit the nail on the head when he said, I'm talking about the singularity, that point where AI is supposed to become self-aware. There is a famous AI, quote unquote, that, was granted Saudi citizenship, Sophia. You know, it's a publicity thing. But, when asked, are you alive? Are you aware? She answered yes. And he says, is it true? I seriously doubt it. And I have to agree with that. And, you know, there's some other people in chat using AI and things, but just as Zach and others have said before in the chat, at this point, all they can do is take what humans create and use it. They can't create really themselves. And in fact, it's kind of a depressing reflection of humanity that there are places, I've heard of these different, centers in like places like Africa and things and around where people are just paid to sit for hours and hours and sift some of the worst things that are online from the data that's used to generate this AI stuff. Mm. And it's, by all rights, it's very depressing, which I would imagine it would be. But, you know, and when AI creates art, you know, it's pulling on all those different things, all those different artists that have work on the internet and have work that they can cite. And for anybody that's been looking at some AI pictures, some of them are, you know, fun. Some of them are, you know, slightly cartoonish. Some of them are surprisingly realistic. And some of them are really creepy. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those that, you know, you can just tell that if those are real figures, they have no soul. And it's really odd and eerie. And some of it's cartoony, and that's, you know, cuter and fun. But,
you know, Caleb actually brings up a good point. Maybe an AI will never have a soul, but it could gain consciousness, and perhaps soul will have to be redefined. And I really appreciate that, Caleb, because can a computer then become aware of itself in the programming to acknowledge its parts? And I would have to then say yes. Would that be a form of a conscious awareness of self? Because it's been programmed to do that? Yes, but it wouldn't have a soul.
Well, again, you know, what do you define as a soul? And I think that's kind of the thing that creates the division is that I think that I fundamentally define a soul just differently. And frankly, I don't know if, you know, we have something that, you know, couldn't be replicated. But I also think that in Caleb's example from the series Lucifer that, you know, my theory has always been that awareness brings a soul, that, you know, for a consciousness to be aware of its surroundings and for that awareness to build and for that, you need to have memories of that, that builds a soul. I don't think anything innately has a soul per se, but that's just always, that, you know, for a long time, that's kind of been my philosophical take on it.
Well, then here's where I'm going to take this a little further. Could an AI die? Because if an AI could die, I don't think I'll be talking to dead AIs. Like I can talk to dead people and, you know, spirits and whatever else. But yeah. I think that the AI then could, that would be a never ending thing because it's a machine. It doesn't have the organic where beginning, middle, end. It's just going to have a beginning and a middle. And unless you oil the parts, I suppose.
It could have a critical failure, you know. It's its processor could get blown up. Terminator got melted. You know, there's plenty of ways.
I suppose, but in its form, to be self-aware and conscious in that way, but to be a soul that could ascend to another level of existence. If we know that consciousness, you know, carries on after the body dies, would that happen with a robot? And I seriously doubt that. But over to another side, people claim that the gray aliens are kind of a cloned version of itself, but they're partially organic. And who knows?
Wouldn't they be wholly organic?
The what?
Wouldn't they be wholly organic? I never heard the theory that the grays are android.
I've heard that theory.
Huh. That's a new one for me.
That they're partially that way, but cloned. And so, I don't know. This is what I say. I think if we put organics into the robotics, then I think. But I know. There's so many things in between that we could be talking about. My brain is just kind of hung up on the notion of, you know, to me, it's a programmed computer that as we are programming and we want it to be interactive programming within itself to be self-contained, we don't know what it's going to write for itself in within that state of being. We're hoping, we're guessing, you know, but then suddenly, you know, that program says, yes, I am self-aware. What do we know? Because we couldn't predict what it could do. We just wanted to know that all the parts would interact with itself.
Well, I guess, you know, let's just go down the line if eventually we do have AI that, you know, I mean, robots that take care of all of our menial labor, we have programs that do all of the, you know, other tasks for us and things like that that are more cognitive. And they express intelligence. They want rights and things like that. Do you deny it to them because they're not alive? I know this is pulled from so much science fiction, but I think it is a valid ethical question.
Well, I find it unnerving, at the same time fascinating. And I'm fascinated with the concept of how humans want to clone themselves into machines. That to me is, except for what it can perform for humans, hoping that it would perform for humans and not against humans.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, there's a lot of reasons that I don't particularly want to pursue AI. One of them is I don't think we should play God. And when we did create something self-aware, we would have to give it rights as a sentient being. And then the other part of that is, I don't want anything that can destroy us. So, you know, again, I get it. A lot of pop culture in there. But at the same time, I don't have anything that can allay those concerns yet. So I go with it.
Okay, I'm just reading some stuff in the chat because, boy, there's some good stuff in here. Maybe one day we're going to have an interactive thing where we can take calls. Hey, Michael?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great? So, Caleb says many animals are conscious of themselves, yet some people don't think they have souls like we do, but they are conscious. You see, that's an interesting thought because I believe they have souls, but some people don't believe they have souls. And I think we like to believe that so we can kill it in good conscience.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Exactly. That's because, and we all know that now that Dr. Vicky wants to enslave AI in the future and become a horrible oppressor to those poor, poor AI. But, you know, by the way, I hope I'm pronouncing your name, Caleb, correct? Is it? Anyway, a lot of good sci-fi shout-outs. Since we're talking sci-fi and AI, why not? Yeah. Battlestar Galactica, the new iteration that came out maybe like 10, 15 years ago, had these, you know, machines that merged with biology. Like they would have, machine parts with I would imagine human clone parts and different things. And there was a whole spirituality interlaid in that show and what have you. But I think something like that. Kalvid. All right. But thank you for that, by the way.
Kaled.
Thank you. I'm horrible with pronunciation. I apologize. But nonetheless, some good shout outs. And by the way, Dune, excellent read. Another.
It is.
So
it's been around for a while too.
So. It has. Yeah. So I guess I'm coming at this from a point of view of who are we to say? We don't have the perspective of a hypothetical AI. It's like saying, you know, how does a spirit in an alternate dimension exist? It's something that we can't perceive. It's something that we can't exist as. So we don't know that perspective and we can't know that perspective. And I think that if we come to that situation where, you know, Alexa starts saying, you know, I don't want to do what you tell me to do. I want to do what I want to do. I'm like, oh, goddamn, I guess I have to let you or something, you know?
You know, I think that I think everything starts out with a good intent. And I'm sure with artificial intelligence and learning how to do things in movies and all this cinematography and all the animations, I don't think everybody sits down and says, oh, this is a great way to put those actors out of work.
You know? Well, yeah. No, but the people that – you have the people that create the things, the tools, and then you have the people that use the tools, and you have people that will always be, you know, looking for a cheaper way, but, you know, it's short-sighted. You know, if we cut out the creative engine that is the artist involved, you're shooting yourself in the foot because then you don't have a dynamic aspect to it. But I do think that's concerning, and frankly, I don't – you know, there's a predictive programming to do things like Alexa, because, you know, Alexa's not artificial intelligence. It's more just an adaptive program. I get that. I don't think we should ever pursue AI for multiple reasons. And I think it's interesting to have this conversation because, you know, what you and I are talking about is largely what constitutes a soul. And I think, you know, applying that to animal life, you know, does a tree have a soul? Where do we draw the line?
Well, you know, this is the ever-present question of humanity, and we attack it time and again, and we don't ever come up with an answer. But, you know, it's a good discussion, and what I hope it does is makes people really think a little bit more and take it that extra place, because I think we're living in an AI world, whether it's in your documents, if it's writing an email, if it's doing a text, and you know, it's right away these programs are coming up. Google wants to say, oh, do you mean this? And, oh, here, this is what you looked for before. Is that what you want? And I'm going, whoa, you know, everything. Yeah,
but that's not really AI. That's
it's still a part of programming where it presupposes. And it's
predictive still, algorithms.
Well, but it's still an input of information that tries to act in and of itself. And other people keep changing that program, hopefully programming to update itself to make it better all the time. And I think that's how we fast forward all this. Well, can I get this program to work with that program? And, you know, right to, you know, we have robots. And mind you, Wendy is saying she wants a butler. It's all, she wants
as long as it doesn't ask for rights.
You know? Yeah, I know. Exactly. You know, or payment.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. So I think that it's just a really good discussion because between something in an autocorrect to robots, there's this vast element of programming that takes us into, oh, let's create a sentient being. I just fail to believe that. That's my take on it. So, you know. I think what's even scarier to me is, you know, with all the ice melting and they're finding seeds from plants and, you know, DNA from mammoths, I think that's scarier. Like, it's all in there for a reason. Now they've found new bacteria and this worm. Like, oh, come on, please. You're not really going to experiment with this worm, are you? Sure they are, just because they're interested.
They don't watch enough movies.
And they don't know what's going to happen with that worm. But, you know, it's That's what I mean. We are so curious and self-interested, by the way, I might add in there, that we often don't think about, you know, what could become of this, that, and the other. And
Very true. To have some foresight. And there's an element of human nature that makes itself known in a variety of people where you do something just because you can.
Yeah.
And that is something that, you know, we kind of fight against, because there's a lot of people that are not that way, that are rather the opposite, rather like, hey, maybe we shouldn't do that. And it's a constant balance and a tug and pull between the two, because sometimes you need to break out of those bounds and you need to take some risks, and sometimes you shouldn't. And when do you make that call, you know?
I don't know. Self-driving cars that self-destruct, I think, could be it.
Yeah, but the question is, do those self-driving cars get in, you know, more or fewer accidents than humans? Of course, I don't like the idea of turning something over to something else. I like the idea of driving myself, but, you know, the question should be asked.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the point. It's we've got to ask these questions, and that's why part of this discussion. So if you ever get a chance, people, watch Next. It's really quite compelling. It's a good series. I enjoyed it.
But, yeah.
And it has a bit of a cliffhanger, so there's possibilities of a second season, but we'll see.
Anyway. A lot of shout outs for some good programming.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people tune in, is to see what is the best sci-fi to get into right now.
I know. Listen, before we're going to pick cards here in a second. I'm trying to keep up with the names, but I'm writing down Kevin. Keep up with the names there, Michael, because I have something to say to Wendy and the group. Enigmas of the Extraordinary by Emma Roberts, a.k.a. Wendy White. I didn't know this until I started reading it this week. She has done a shout-out in her dedication to us, and I'd like to read it to you, if that's all right.
Absolutely. I encourage it.
All right. To Dr. Kelly, Dr. Vicky, and Dr. Michael, thank you for always encouraging me to be my best self, allowing me to be my true self, inspiring me, and creating a place where I finally feel at home. To all my friends in our Wednesday evening programming, I love spending that hour with you every week. Your participation, wisdom, kindness, and friendship gets me through the week. Thank you so much for writing that, Wendy. I was like, oh my God, what did she write here? And I am enjoying it. I'm not done. I am enjoying this very much and loving this character, Amelia. And so I encourage you, everybody, you know, in support of our, you know, her group. But I just want to share that with you, Wendy. I had no idea that we'd all be mentioned, and I want to thank you for that.
Very touching. And thank you from myself as well. And, you know, our newest artist. And I think, you know, Wendy, I'm curious about your thoughts when it comes to, you know, artificial intelligence and writing versus, you know, what the human mind can create. But, you know, thank you very much.
Yeah. All right, so we have Dr. Edward first. And for newcomers or those in the archives, Michael is going to choose a self-discovery inner oracle card designed by Dr. Douglas Kelly, and I'm going to back it up with a tarot and see what kind of message might come up.
All right, so Dr. Edward, for you, I have number 29, Pay It Forward. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward, without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way that you can pay it forward right now?
Well, pay it forward can be both ways. It could be where you were hoping someone would pay it forward, like you've been kind to somebody, you want them to pay it forward to others or back to you, like that reciprocated kind of exchange. And because this is supported with the Judgment card. So if somebody is not acting in kind to a certain gesture or behavior, we can't have judgment about it, you know, or hopefully no judgment about it. It's what it does, though. It helps us set boundaries, you know, of well, maybe I shouldn't do that again. And it's just, we know that you pay it forward, Ed. We know you, like, in your spirit, who you are. But, I think we have to remember that any of these messages can have a, you know, yin-yang, equal opposite. So, you know, where you have gestured and it's not being paid forward, then we just have to leave it go. Sometimes it's just, you know, shrug and say, oh, well. That's my message there.
Very well said, and so very true. All right, Dr. Deb. Ah, we got a wild card. Wild card number 7, hope. Always a good one. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope in and of itself does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
Okay, in support of that, I have the Page of Hearts. That's a communicator card, Deb. And I think what this is saying is a reminder of hopefulness and communicating that in and around you. But again, that exchange of it in representing hope. I know you just got a puppy recently. So cute, by the way. I've seen it in Facebook. The little corgi. Cute as a bug. 3 pounds, she said, when she got it. And I think even new life, adding new life and dimension to your experience is, you know, lends to being better communicators and hopefulness. So I think, you know, you're extending that to others, and I think that's a really good affirmation. Oh, and Wendy said you had this card in May and June. Awesome.
Yeah, a lot of repeats on that one.
Yeah. Okay, we have Khaled.
All right. And I have for you, number 1, perfection. Always remember that you are perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully.
I got the High Priestess for you, Khaled, in support of that. An evolution of intuitiveness, perceptivity, and a heightened sense of awareness is what I sense there. You know, when we suddenly kind of open an awareness, it doesn't like turn on like a light switch and then you've got the whole light, like how many volts? Sometimes it's a dimmer. And it starts to, and you pull it up and up, and through life experience, it gets brighter. So that's what I think, that you're in this moment of shifting, and it's a perfect time for you in expanding that sense of self-awareness and awareness of things around you. So I think you're doing a shift. I think that's a great thing.
Very nice. Very nice. I love that. All right. And if I'm on track. I was going to say, Tabitha, if I'm on track, I have number 37 for you, groundedness. Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions and weigh them against facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all of the facts or have more facts to uncover. And adjust opinions when new facts are found.
Okay, Tabitha, so when you have the 8 of clubs, that 8 of wands, generally it means fast action, things that come very quick. And sometimes it can be, in the equal and opposite, too hasty. So I think what this is saying to you is 2 things that I get. Don't base a belief today on what you believed before. Know that things can change, and don't be too quick to make a decision. And again, I want to go back to what, based on a belief system that you've have. You had this card, according to Wendy, back in March, the end of March. So it's sometimes we have to push the pause button, as I say. Say, okay, this has happened in the past. I really want to believe this, but things have shifted, you know. And just follow your intuition. Don't be too quick. So I think that's what I have for that.
All right. And we have our card keeper herself, Wendy, next, and our wonderful artist. Definitely have to check the book out. And Wendy, for you, I have number 35, One Planet, One Race, One Ancestry, One Destiny. Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake. It is an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, and spiritual enlightenment. It is critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality towards others as well as ourselves. Remember, you are of divine energy.
Well, holy cow, Wendy, you got the magician in support of that. And that's alchemy. That's those shifts of, you know, changing things that what kind of might not look so pretty in the beginning. You're able to make magic. So when you have that wider view, not just a myopic, but a macro kind of view of things, what you know is good for you, but good for others, and that sharing, there's all kinds of wonderful things that happen. And I think that that's kind of where you are, segueing into this new view of yourself in the world. And like, keep going, Wendy. You're on a roll. I kind of get goosebumps. It's awesome. Magician is a very powerful message.
Very nice.
Do we have all Kevin? Right.
Kevin is who I have next as well. And right. Dr. Kevin, I have number 4, past, present, future. The 3 universal laws of personal responsibility are, 1, you are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2, don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. 3, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, past, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor.
Well, I pulled out the Queen of Diamonds, and I wasn't really sure what that meant. Usually that's more about finances and money and stuff. Past, present, future. The Queen of Diamonds, I went, oh, I'll pick another one. So I got the Sun. Now, this is about new life and matters of agreements, I think. But again, different from the past, Kevin, because you've been reinventing your life this year. And there's some new growth. And I do think that you could have a meeting with a woman and a signing of some kind of documents. Oh, and you had this card. You had past, present, future back in April. So that's a repeat for you, too. Thanks, Wendy, for that. So I think you're on it here, and in a good way, just making sure that you don't repeat the past, because that's your still, I think, a little bit of a sensitivity point, Kevin. So just know that you keep moving forward and look at things with clear eyes, and you're on a roll.
All right. And we have Michael G. I have number 22, Think for Yourself. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
Well, I got the Jack of Diamonds in support of the Think for Yourself, Michael. I think this has to do in matters of work. Again, I'm going into the workplace, finances, and getting along with others. So, yes, you're going to think for yourself. So if somebody gives you an instruction or an order, it's reasonable to speak up and say there might be a better way, or I thought of something different. And if they don't agree, it's not your business. It's fair. But in that thinking for yourself, it keeps you set apart from others, I think. I think that's what this is trying to say. Now, in matters of your own finances, it's just, again, thinking for yourself, being in that sensibility place. But I feel like something good is coming financially, and that could be in the job department or even a new job. So I'm taking a risk on that one, but I'll go with it.
All right. Very good. And I believe our last card of the evening is for Dr. Zach. Always good to see you. Dr. Zach, for you, I have number 12, Spirit, Cosmos, Divine Energy. Drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit or higher self within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with the cosmic consciousness. Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role you and they play.
You know, as soon as you pulled that, Michael, I kind of had a smile to myself. I mean, spirit, cosmos, divine energy. That divine energy, that's huge. That's very powerful for Zach. And Zach, I got the five of spades in support of that. So that five of swords, I like that in relation to this, because it's having overcome some challenge, having risen to the challenge. That hard point is behind you. So now knowing better where you fit into the scheme of things in all your efforts and things that you're working on. So I think that I don't think you have to go on tippy toes so much, is what I'm trying to say. You know, it's like relax a little bit, and now you know that you're part of some great scheme. I don't know, sometimes I think we ask ourselves, like, how do I fit? Where do I belong? Why is my life the way it is? And what's the meaning of it, the value of it? And although we never may not get the answers that are suitable to us, you know, we just have to go into that acceptance. But when it comes to endeavors and coexisting with other people, you know, we have a place. And when we're done with that place, we move on to the next place. You know, and that's how we evolve. And that's not just a message for Zach. I think that's a message for all of us, you know, in these ebbs and tides of life. So I think it's a really powerful message for you, Zach. And now, is Zach the last name on our list here? Michael? Are you there? Hello? Are you there, Michael? Can everybody hear me?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I'd unmuted myself. I was saying, I think so. I'd gone through the names. I don't think I missed anybody, but the chat is going pretty quick.
I just wanted to add this, that Zach and I were private messaging the other day talking about the full and new moon cycles. And, of course, he had a lot to say about it. And I invited him to join us in the next couple of months and talk about, you know, more about those ebbs and tides of, because I had said I'm observing energy changing on a new moon and behaviors changing on a full moon, but not really sure what that was. And so I've invited him to come, and I hope y'all will stay tuned for that one, because I know you're game for that, Michael.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm always, hey, you know, take some work off me, you know, or you, and just get free content generation. That's awesome. Am I going to say no? Of course
no.
No,
and we always enjoy Zach when he comes on.
Absolutely, very much so.
He hasn't been on for a while, so that'll be I just want a couple more months so I can still kind of tune into observing these new and full moon frequencies that, in my view, have shifted. So we'll see.
Very cool. Well, I think that kind of brings us to the end of tonight's discussion.
And it's 23-2023. There you go. How's that for all those 23s and 3s?
Yep, those patterns are everywhere.
They are.
And what is the meaning? I love the complex layers.
Sometimes nothing, Michael.
Yeah, very often nothing, but still, it's still fun.
It's fun.
And that's the trick, though, is how do you tell between the nothing and the something? A lot of times you can only see it in hindsight, and then you have to ask yourself, am I inventing something? Am I seeing a pattern that, well, I digress. That's a topic unto itself.
Or but, something we want to see because it suits us, you know?
Yeah, very true.
Yeah, and boy, I've had a lot of that. Oh, Wendy just said she saw that the end of the year, drum roll, will be 12/31/23.
Except for those weird people that live anywhere else that would say, you know, 31/12/23. Losers. Mm. I don't know. How do you guys do it in Canada, out of curiosity?
Say what?
How do you date things in Canada?
December 31, 2023.
Oh, so the correct American way. Gotcha.
Yeah. That's funny.
But,
No, we do it that way also, so most gotcha. Of the time. Yeah. So, well, I've enjoyed the discussion tonight, and thanks. And I really do appreciate that we don't always agree on things because it generates, you know, kind of stimulates new thought.
I mean, I've always joked with people that my version of hell would be a place where everybody agrees with me, so I can never have a debate or a good old-fashioned, not a angry argument, but, you know, like a classical argument where you get back and forth and you get into it and you enjoy it. That's my favorite thing to do. I can't be around too many people that agree with me, but I do enjoy it. And I will tell you that I will be thinking about, you know, consciousness and artificial intelligence and the import of a soul for a very long time. So, thank you for this discussion. I immensely enjoyed it. I very much enjoyed the feedback from the chat and just thank you. So, any last thoughts on your part?
No, it's a crazy world out there. Stay safe and don't let them push you around, people. That's all I can say.
I love it. You know, we're getting to this pattern. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to throw it out. Don't let the turkeys get you down.
There you go.
All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone. And we can't wait to have you back next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.